Chizkuni Parshas Vayechi. So the Chizkuni begins discussing the first Rashi in the Parsha, which is that Parshas Vayechi is a Parsha Stuma, which means it's not much of a break from the last Parsha. Why is that? So first Rashi says it's going on the word, on the way a Parsha Stuma is called. The word Stuma means closed. That's it. Once Yaakov died, which is what the first pasuk is talking about, Yaakov Avinu's life and his dying. So once he died, the Nistamu Einayim Shel Yisrael Mitzaras Hashiba, that the Jewish people their hearts became closed up because of the Shibud. So, meaning the slavery in Egypt, once Yaakov died. So just the Chizkuni says, what? Why? When Yaakov died, Yosef didn't die a second later. Yosef was still king. So what do you mean? When Yaakov died, nothing happened. Yosef was still ruling over Egypt. Nothing could have happened to the Jews then. What do you mean? What happened to the Jews after Yaakov died? There's no Shibud. His answer is, well, his chilul l'shabed behem ma'at. I don't know exactly what that refers to. It's just an interesting thing. It means there's some level of Shibud started even while Yosef was king, which is very interesting. And his other pshat is more like the Rashbam, which is that it's just this parsha is really connected to the previous parsha, meaning he started talking there about Yaakov's life, how many years he was alive, and this is really connected to that, just a continuation of that. Okay, then it says, so Yaakov calls his son Yosef. Chizkuni says, if you remember Lashitaso, when Hashem told Yaakov, Yosef, Yashis, Yado Alinecha, Yosef will put his hand on your eyes, which the Chizkuni said meant that Yosef will put he'll help you die, meaning like when someone dies, the person who's alive covers his eyes. So when it says Yosef Yashis Yado Alinecha, means he'll be there at the time of your death, which is really what he was being promised. So therefore, since Yaakov knew he was going to die, he calls Yosef over. And then it says, Vayishtachar Yisrael al Rosh Hamita. So Yaakov bowed down to Yosef. So Rashi says that since Yosef was king, he bowed down. Or he was bowing to Hashem, because the Shekhinah is Shura on top of a person who's dying. So in other words, he was really bowing to Yosef, but he turned towards the Shekhinah, because the Shekhinah is there. So the Chizkuni just points out, this is the key of the dream, that Yaakov's supposed to bow down to Yosef. Right, that was his dream number one, was 11 sheaves were bowing down to him, and dream number two was 11 stars were bowing down to him, plus the sun and the moon. So the sun was supposed to be Yaakov, and the moon, either that part was not true, or it was Bilhah's, so we don't know if Bilhah bowed down to him or where that happened, but one shot is that part of the dream was not true. That star was supposed to be Rachel, and it wasn't true. But the sun, where did Yaakov bow down to Yosef? This is it. Which just is interesting. That just means that the dreams could be Makuyim piecemeal. In which case, you would wonder why the whole story that Yosef made them all come down to Mitzrayim in that whole funny way was so that they shouldn't know that he was the king, and they'd all bow down to him at once, it seems. That's why Binyamin had to be there, but it sounds like it could have been done piecemeal, since Yaakov is bowing down separately from the other brothers. It's also possible that since in this dream, the sun and the stars are not the same thing, they're allowed to be piecemeal. I don't know. Regardless, this is so, even though he was bowing, Yaakov was bowing to Yosef, he was also turning towards the Shekhinah. But whatever it is, this was the key of the bowing, to the son bowing to Yosef. He also brings the Medrash that says, and he's brought it before, that when Yaakov died, this was the first time anyone ever got sick. People used to sneeze and die, and Yaakov was the first one that he davened that he should get, that there should be some days beforehand, a person should get sick. Again, the Chizkuni had quoted, it was 3 days sick beforehand. It's actually Gemara's that or Mashma. 5 days is the right time. Whatever it is, a person should get sick alone in advance, that they should be able to say goodbye and get their affairs in order. But it's just, he brings the Pirkei Rav Elazar. It's just an interesting lashon. It says that all the kings were afraid because this had never happened. Lafika chayev adam b'shasi tusho. Therefore, when a person sneezes, he's chayev lahodos la'kadosh baruch hu, shenapach mimavis l'chayim, that it changed from death to life. Shenem Rati Shosef Tahelor. Okay, so Zechiv, when a person sneezes, you know, we have in our society that you say bless you or Gesundheit, which is you should have health, because presumably because of the story that people used to die. But it's a chiyuv on the person themselves sneezing to say thank you Hashem that they are alive. Okay, anyway, the next pasuk is Vayischazik Yisrael Vayishev Al Amita. He strengthened himself to sit up. So Rashi says it was to give cover to the Malchus. Cheskuni has an interesting shot that when this is Yaakov telling over to his kids what to do at time of death, so there's a halacha that a matna shchiv meira, if someone is dying and they give over a matana, so then if they get better, they can be chozer and take it back. He wanted to make this a matnas baria, a matana that a healthy person makes, that they can't take it back. Because if a regular person gives you a gift, there's no backsies. It's only if someone is on their deathbed and they get better, they can take it back. So Yaakov wanted this to be like a matnas baria. He wanted it to be like a thing that couldn't be taken back, these brachas he was going to give. So therefore he was nischazik to leishiv alamita, to be like a baria, a healthy person, that he shouldn't be able to take the brachas back. Okay, so he tells Yosef about his two kids, Ephraim and Manasseh, that they'll be their own shvatim. So Rashi mentions that even though Eretz Yisrael was split up based on how big the family was, and had nothing to do with what Shevet you were from, it was all split up, given, divided out based on how many people were in your family, still, only Yosef's sons would get the official title of Shvatim, so that they would have their own Shevet, their own Nasi, things like that. So the Cheskuni just points out, like the Ramban and others, that the Gemara doesn't sound like that. It sounds like Eretz Yisrael was split up evenly per Shevet. Every Shevet got an equal amount. So that's not like Rashi. Whatever, it was divided up. In other words, once the Shvatim got their piece, then it was divided up per household by how big they were. But each Shevet got an equal amount. That's the Mashmos of the Gemara. He just points that out too. Okay, so now he's trying to convince Yosef to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, in Maris HaMachpelah. And so he has to talk about that he didn't do that to his mother. So the Cheskuni explains different parts of this. It's all in Pasuk Zayin. V'ani b'voi mipadan meisalai rechel b'eretz kanan bod kivar seretz lavo efrasa. And he buried her in Ephras, which is Beis Lachem. Okay, so the Cheskuni says, first of all, when I came, v'ani b'voi mipadan, when I was coming from Padan, Esav was still fighting that it's his kever. You know, that he had a chelik in Maris HaMachpelah. So I couldn't get in a fight with him, so I couldn't bury her there. It was by the time Leah died, Leah was buried in Maris HaMachpelah. He says when Leah died, then he had already had his meeting with Esav. Esav had already gone to, had left. Rachel was alive for the meeting. But at that, that's what he says. At the time when Rachel died, Esav was still there. When Leah died, he had already left. And then I also buried her, Rachel. I buried Rachel in where I buried her because that is the Nachla of Binyamin, and I knew she would want to be buried in her child's Nachla. And lastly, another reason he didn't bring her all the way to Maris HaMachpelah, which he has mentioned before, because she died in childbirth, and therefore it would be a gnus for her, I guess all the travel would make the, you know, she died in childbirth, there's a lot of blood that make the tachrichin all bloody, and therefore he buried her right there. All this he said to try to convince Yosef that he should be buried, that, you know, don't be upset at him, and that Yosef should bury Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael. The only thing the Cheskuni just points out is that Rashi makes it sound like she wasn't buried in Israel, which is not true. We all know Kever Rachel is in Israel, right? And Rashi says, V'lalahi lachtia afilo lebeis lechem lachnisa la'aretz. What does he mean by that? What do you mean? I didn't bring her to Beis Lechem Lachnis L'Aretz. She was in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so there are Tirutim. He leaves it as a question, but there are Tirutim. The Mizrahi says it means I didn't bring her to Eretz Miusheves, to the city of Beis Lechem. Okay. Next. Then he says that, tells Yosef that seeing your face, lo filalti. What exactly does that mean? Yosef to see your safe lo filalti. So Rashi says, I never thought about it. That's what the layer palel means, to think. So this is all obviously connected to the same word tefila. So I didn't think about it. So the Cheskuni says, no, lo filalti means what it sounds like. I didn't daven. This is interesting, right? I never davened to see you again, Yosef. Why? Because it's a tefillah shav. He thought he was dead. Taraf Yosef. If he's dead, he's dead. He can't daven to see his face if he's dead. So it means that literally, I didn't daven to see your face because it would have been a tefillah shav. Okay. Then he benches Menasha and Ephraim, and instead of switching them around, he switches his hand. Why does he do that? Why is he not just switch them around? Because he says, the Chizkuni says, he had to give kavod. Menasha at the end is the Bechor, and therefore you have to give a little kavod to the Bechor. So he didn't switch them, he just switched his hands. Now this is also interesting. The word ki, it says, Sikel es yadav ki Menasha ha-Bechor. So one way of explaining that is he switched his hands because Menasha was the Bechor, like he explains, that he had to give, he didn't switch them around, rather he switched his hands because you have to give a kavod to the Bechor. But he says ki means despite the fact, af al pi. The word ki can sometimes mean even though. So here you would read it, he switched his hands even though Menasha was the Bechor. And he says you find this many places, which is good to keep in mind. As it says, v'salachta la'avoni ki ravhu. That's the one we say often enough, right? V'salachta la'avoneinu ki ravhu. Forgive my avers ki ravhu. Doesn't mean because they are so many. It means despite the fact that they are so many, forgive me. Or, I didn't take in the beginning of B'shalach. It says that Hashem didn't take them. Derech eretz plishtim ki karovhu. What do you mean because it's close? Because it's close, that should be a reason to yes go that way. So he says, means even though it's the close way, I didn't go that way. Like Rashi over there says, it means because it was close and be easy to go back to Mitzrayim. Anyway, the Chizkuni says, no, that means even though, despite the fact. He can mean despite the fact. Okay. Then at the end of the parak it says, Anina satil chal shchem echad alachacha shalakachtim yad ha-mori, I took from them mori, why say mori? Chizkuni just says they were the really strong ones. Becharbi u'bekashti. And Rashi brings that when Shimon Alevi killed all the Shechem, that everybody surrounded them, all the people surrounded them, and they wanted him to wage war with Yaakov, but Yaakov got dressed in his battle clothes, and he showed them that he was ready to fight, and they all dispersed. So the Chizkuni just asks, it's a Mefurish Pasuk, that's not true, it says, V'lo rad fuach arei b'nei Yaakov. It says, nobody ran after that. After Shimon and Levi did their thing, nobody chased after them. So it sounds like nobody did that. So, people answer, the Rishonim answer that it means they looked like they were going to attack, but they didn't attack. They didn't actually chase Bnei Israel. They were going to attack, and then they saw Yaakov ready to fight, and then they all backed off. Okay, then Yaakov starts with the brachas to the Shvatim, and he says, let me tell you what's going to happen to you, Ba'achar Sayamim. What will happen to you in the end of days? Now here that he points out, which maybe you never thought about, should have said Ashiyikris chem ba'achris yamim at the end of days, ba'achris hayamim the days. What are the days? Which days? So he says, just as a push-up shot that there, Avram was said it's going to be 400 years. So I'm going to tell you it's going to be happen at the end of the days. Those 400 years. Okay, so Reuven. It says that he didn't get a bracha because ki alisa mishkavei avicha as chilalta yitzei alas. Remember, Reuven did something. The pasuk says he was with Bilha. And then Chazal say, no, he just put Yaakov's bed in Bilha's tent. Not that Reuven was intimate with Bilha, rather he just put his bed in there. But the Pasuk says that, the Lashon of the Pasuk is that he was with his mother. So there are different Mefarshim how they explain this. Again, the Gemara says, whoever says that is Einu Elatoa. Okay, but still, some Rishonim sound like that. Anyway, he has both Pshatim here, whether it's literal or not. You're assuming it's literal, it says, when after you did that, Azchi Lalta Yitzuyala means Yaakov was never with Bilha again after that. That you were Mechalal Yitzuy, you took it from the time you did that, I was never with Bilha again. Anyway, that's what it sounds to me what the pshat is going with. Or if it means it, they just moved the beds, so then it means you're a mechala your own stuff. Like you should have been the king and should have had the bechora, but you lost it. When it comes to Shimon and Levi, Yaakov says, Arur apam kiaz, their anger should be cursed. So the Chizkuni says a nice thing. He says, that's not a klal. That was a bracha. That means he was saying, whenever they get angry, Yaakov is davening, it shouldn't, whatever they do should not be matzliach. Meaning that so that they shouldn't get angry so quickly. So he cursed their anger. If they did anything out of anger, it shouldn't work. You know, no one should get it. Nothing should happen to anybody so that they won't be, people get angry so often or easily. Then we have the bracha to Yehuda. Yehuda's going to be king and Melucha will always stay by him. La Yasser Shevet Mi Yehuda Ad Ki Avo Shiloh. So what does it mean? Ad Ki Avo Shiloh, until Shiloh comes. So the Chizkunish Pshat is until they would try to reestablish the Malchus in Shiloh, which means when Rechavam, son of Shlomo, did that in Shiloh, that was the end of the career, because that's when around when Yeravam started, and that's when Malchus based of it started in a decline. Okay, and something he said about, I guess a point out by Zvulun, he says that all the Shvatim are listed in their order, except for Zvulun, which is mentioned before Yisachar, even though Yisachar was born first, because he says the Nachla of Yisachar is between Zvulun and Dan. So it mentioned Zvulun first. Okay, just something interesting about the Gad. It says, Gad gedud yugaden of huya gud akev. It means, so Gad was strong, they would go out like the Marines first, huya gud akev, and they come out last, meaning they're guarding the flank. So they come in first, and then when they're going back home, they leave last, because they're making sure nobody attacks them on their way out. Okay, then we get to the bracha of Yosef. So he interprets it as talking about how he had many children from Menashe and Yosef. But this part, Vateshev Beishson Kashtov Veyafozos Reyodov Midei Avi Yaakov Mishamro Eben Yisrael. So he says a pshat here that Vateshev Beishson Kashtov means Yosef did not do bad to those who did bad to him. He it sounds like he's saying he sat on his bow, meaning he didn't return the favor. He didn't take nekama against the brother. Vateshev Beishson Kashtov means he did not use his bow. And then by Yefozu's Roe Yadav, that means he was king, and if you looked on his hands, they were filled with jewels. And he didn't let that go to his head either. And where'd he get that from? Midei Avir Yaakov. He got that from Yaakov, that Mida, to not become a Bal Gaiva, to be a good person, and not take Nekama. Misham Roe Evan Yisrael, from there, was he shepherded, meaning he gave food to Yaakov and Klal Yisrael. And he says, Evan means the father. And the nun is extra credit. Why? He said, lots of words have nun for extra credit. Like what? Shigaon, raton, charon, ra'avon, eravon. Like ra'avon, the word is ra'iv. Right? So ra'avon, you know, the nun's kind of extra there. So it's Evan Yisrael is av, and the nun is, I don't know, somehow thrown in there. Yeah, it's just, that's how he explains that pasuk. When it comes to Binyamin, it says, Binyamin is Zev Yitrov. I think he brings this from a medrash, that Binyamin is called a wolf and Yehuda is called a lion, because Shaul came from Binyamin, and a wolf, when it's Dores, when it kills its prey, it doesn't hang around too much. It eats it and gets out of there. As opposed to a Aryeh, when it eats its prey, it doesn't go anywhere. As it's not afraid, so too Shaul's Melucha lasted a short time, as opposed to David's, which lasted forever. Okay, then we have Yosef trying to, once Yaakov dies, trying to get Yaakov to Israel. And he's, you know, seems to be very concerned that Paro won't let him go. And he talks very, you know, carefully. Dabru na, b'aznei Faro lemor, I got swore, you know. What's he so afraid of? Why do you think Paro wouldn't let him leave? So the Chizkuni says, because he thought he might not come back. And if Yosef didn't come back, that would be very bad. It sounds like bad for morale, because everybody loved Yosef. And it would have been bad if the viceroy went to Israel and just stayed there forever. And he was afraid that was going to happen. So that's why he was trying to convince him to let him go anyway. And just also Stam to leave Egypt, someone of that importance, but also it was because he thought he'd stay there forever. Okay, so he gets permission to leave, and who carries the Aron? So Rashi brings that only the Shvatim were allowed to carry the Aron, but not his grandchildren, because they were all the sons of Canaanim. So You know, there's Midrashim that that's not true. A Gemara in Pesachim that says that they were all, they never would have married Kananim, and Kanani means merchants. And it says that they were married to, the Shvatim married their twins. According to this, you'd have to say they all died without having children, and then they remarried to others. Okay, so, but still, there's another Midrash. Remember that Shimon, and Dina, well, actually, let me say it this way. Dina lived by Shimon, and Dina had a child from Shechem, and, well, you know, let's just go with Rashi. Rashi had over there said that Shimon married Dina. After she had been with Shechem, Shimon married Dina. Okay, so let's go with that shot without mixing all the different Midrashim about who's who Dina's child was and who she was married to or whatever. Okay, just Rashi. Rashi over there, by in the sons of Shimon, Rashi says, Shaul ben Akananis, and that was Shaul ben Dina. Shenevelo l'Akananis. So Shimon and Dina had a child together called Shaul. Okay, if that's the case, that's definitely not a guy, and therefore, why couldn't he carry the Aron, or that grandchild? And he answers, because that's the theme of this whole story. Don't get people jealous. It can't be that you can have none of the grandchildren carrying the Aron, and only Shimon's grandchild can carry the Aron. That would cause jealousy. I, Menashe and Ephraim, were part of the people who carried the Aron. That's different. They were the sons of the king. Everyone would understand that they get to be involved. But Shimon would be different. That would cause jealousy. That's why that was not done. Okay, also Rashi mentions that Levi did not carry the Aron. I mean, it's the 12, when we say, who are the Shvatim that carried the Aron? Everyone but Levi and Yosef. Menashe and Ephraim took over for them. Yosef didn't because he was a king, and Levi didn't because he would eventually carry the Aron. Okay, which leaves us to a question. If people who carry the Aron, Shevet Levi is not allowed to carry a casket, why was Moshe carrying Yosef's casket, right? Moshe, who was a Levi, when it was time to leave Mitzrayim, Moshe carried Yosef's casket. I thought a Levi can't carry a casket. So he says that he wasn't really carrying it. Yosef's carried it himself. I guess it was an ace that Yosef's Aron really carried itself. So it wasn't a violation of a Levi carrying an Aron. And that's it.